Epilogue. The Desert. The sun was a hammer, the desert its scorched anvil. Here the world laboured under the draconic swelter of seething heat, the wind slow whipping in outraged howls across the June sea. The barren sky offered no shadow, the lifeless landscape offered no hope of shade. A lone traveller walked this realm, his boots scuffing the powdery grit, his cloak rippling in the alkali gusts. He trudged onwards, leaving tracks that marked his passage across the featureless expanse. He never looked back. There would be nothing to see, even if he did. His journey brought him to the edge of a chasm, a riven slice of the planet's skin where the world's tectonics had once pulled apart after warring in grinding uproar. The traveller descended the ravine's cliffside while the high sun remained in vigil. Soon enough, blessedly, he entered a realm of shadow where the sun no longer stared. Within the ravine lay the broken bones of a dead city, silent for so long, free from the ravages of the dusty wind, it echoed only with the sound of the traveller's footsteps. He passed through this place of mournful memory, careful not to touch the ashen smears that its fleeing people had become. He walked through time-eaten cathedrals to forgotten gods, through fire-fallen palaces that once housed dynasties of kings and queens who laid claim to whole worlds. He walked with no purpose beyond seeing what lay there in the abandoned shadows. In the deepest, lightless reaches of that slain civilization, the traveller halted at last. He stood within a cavern, several days' journey below the surface, where the stone walls showed precious few remaining signs of the culture that once thrived here. It wasn't from here that those ancient monarchs had ruled their realm, but it was the core place, the heart of their power, that had allowed them to do so. Thunder rolled. A week away, far above him, a storm tore across the desert. Dust clattered from the cavern roof, clattering soft melodies of desecration upon dead machines. The traveller turned in the darkness, raising an illumination globe clutched in a rag-gloved hand. "Hello, Diocletian," he said. The warrior stood in the dark, his spear held in a loose fist. He was helmless, breathing in the earthy smell of a million memories. "My liege," he said. Somehow his voice was a gunshot in the nothingness, breaking the silence in a way the emperors had not. Things moved in the shadows, crawling away from the defiling sound of speech. The emperor walked among the stilled enginery. The sand had blighted everything, even down here, running his gauntleted touch along the fire-blackened metal. "Sir, what is happening? Why am I here?"
"Do you recognize any of this machinery?"
Diocletian let his gaze roam over the cavern's wreckages.
"No, my liege."
The emperor kept walking, moving from structure to structure, the way a man might browse the aisles of a librarium. The thunder that shouldn't be audible this deep in the earth rumbled louder than before.
"There are those in the cult mechanicum among the unifiers that surmise I found the core of the golden throne here, beneath the sands of Terra. A relic, they venture, of the Dark Age."
Diocletian wasn't sure what to say. He had witnessed uncountable hours of the Golden Throne's planning and construction processes. Yet, as he said, he recognized nothing here. He didn't know if that was a flaw in his understanding of the throne's genesis among these machines, or simply because this machine crypt had nothing to do with the Emperor's greatest work at all.
"Perhaps there was merely inspiration to be found here," the Emperor mused softly. "The idea taking form, based not on the successes of an ancient race, but the failures of our own."
He exhaled a rueful sound, not quite a sigh, not quite a chuckle.
"Did I see these machines, how they fell short of their intended purpose, and resolve to create a far superior incarnation. There is a certain poetry to that, isn't there, Diocletian? The belief that we know better than those who came before us, that we will suit a throne better than they did.
Sire, are you well?
Or perhaps the idea was mine in its entirety. Any relics of lost ages that have proven useful for their parts, being the legacies of dead species that had the same idea millennia before my birth. In such an instance, each race envisions its own salvation independent of the others, only to discover that other species, other empires, have already failed to save themselves. Diocletian breathed slowly in the dark.
Does it matter, sir?
The emperor turned to him, his eyes focusing on the custodian for the first time. The war is over, Diocletian. Win or lose, Horus has damned us all. Mankind will share in his ignorance until the last man or woman draws the species' last breath. The warp will forever be a cancer in the heart of all humans. The Imperium may last 100 years, or 1,000, or 10,000. But it will fall, Diocletian. It will fall. The shining path is lost to us. Now we rage against the dying of the light.
It cannot be this way.
Diocletian stepped forwards, teeth clenched.
It cannot.
The emperor tilted his head.
No?
What then do you intend to do, custodian? How will you, with your spear and your fury and your loyalty, pull fate itself from its repeating path?
We will kill Horus.
Diocletian stared at his defeated monarch, illuminated in emberish light of the Lumoglobe in his hand.
And after the war, we can begin anew. We can purge the webway. The unifiers can rebuild all that was lost, even if it takes centuries. We will strike Horus down and...
I will face the 16th, the emperor interrupted, distracted once more by the machine graveyard. But there will come another to take his place. I see that now. It is the way of things. The enemy will never abate. Another will come, one who will doubtless learn from Horus's errors of faith and judgment.
Who, my king?
The emperor shook his head. There is no way to know, and for now it is meaningless. But remember it well. We are not the only ones learning from this conflict. Our enemies grow wiser as well. Diocletian refused to concede.
You are the emperor of mankind. We will conquer any who come against us. After the war, we will rebuild under your guidance.
The emperor stared at him. He spoke a question that wasn't a question, one that brooked no answer. And what if I am gone, Diocletian? The custodian had no answer. Thunder pealed above them, shaking the cavern and jarring loose a rattling hail of falling pebble dust.
My king, what now? What comes next?
The emperor turned away, walking into the darkness of the cavern while the storm hammered the dead city so far above. He spoke 3 words that no custodian had ever heard him speak before. I don't know. That was The Master of Mankind by Aaron Dembski-Bowden, read by Jonathan Keeble. This recording is copyrighted to Games Workshop 2016.